we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. Bob Arthurs here from Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And today, I just want to say happy birthday to a person very dear to my heart. December the 5th is also a day that marks the anniversary of a horrible tornado that swept through the part of town that I grew up in and just really altered the landscape of the community that I grew up in. I've got friends of mine who their mother ended up, her vehicle ended up getting turned upside down, and I think she got trapped in her vehicle there for a long time. A relative of mine had a rod that just barely missed puncturing the gas tank. And so if you've ever had a storm that came through that altered the landscape of your life, you are thankful that God is still able to bring peace to the storm. So I want to say thank you today to Jits Concrete, 536-5804. If you need any help with block work or cement work, give them a call. They've been in Brevard County for a long, long time and will do a great job for you. Jits Concrete, 536-5804. So we are now in our full-fledged into our Christmas season events. We've got a Christmas banquet that we're doing, or that we're invited to. My wife and I are invited to tomorrow night, so we're looking forward to that. We've got our church Christmas program coming up on the morning of the 18th. We've got a missionary that's going to be with us this coming Sunday night. We've got a crafty Christmas party for the kids coming up on December the 14th, I believe it is. We got our Christmas Eve communion service on December the 24th, church on Christmas Sunday, Christmas Day this year. And yes, we will be having service. We won't be having Sunday school. Our service that day will begin at 11 a.m. But we've got a lot of things going on in our church Christmas banquet, our biggest event of the year, where we say thank you to the church for all of their faithfulness throughout the year. That's coming up on December the 18th. So it's very important that we keep our agenda, keep the main thing, as I've heard it said, and keep our agenda in working order. So if you have any questions about what's going on at Merritt Assembly of God, check out our website, merrittassembly.com, merrittassembly.com. You can also check us out on Facebook and like us there. And we tend to have sermon summaries that we do there on Monday morning. My daughter puts together a little video snippet, highlights of the things that I have preached the day before. And and if you need to know anything further about what's going on, check us out there at merrittassembly.com. Verse number 15 of Isaiah chapter 51, we're going to get back to that and get started here today. And then we're going to get into the second awake. Isaiah 51, verse number 15. But I am the Lord your God who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. So I just wanted to talk briefly about verse number 16 there. I have put my words in your mouth. You know, one of the things that I really did not like when I was growing up was being sent into a situation by someone else doing what I thought was supposed to be done, and then returning to the person who sent me, and they said this. Well, you should have said this. You should have done this. There are so many times that people want to live their life in the perspective of you should have. You should have. On Monday morning, they call them armchair quarterbacks, where people who don't know anything at all about football saying, well, you should have done this, and if you had have done this, we would have had victory instead of having defeat. I want you to know that God is not in the you should have business. He's in the thus saith the Lord business. And so he says, I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. You see, we are the ambassadors of Christ. That's what the New Testament says. We are the ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador is one who goes to a foreign dignitary on behalf of his government, whether it's a king or a president, and speaks, but not on his own accord, not out of his own vocabulary, but he communicates the message that the sovereign wants to have communicated. And so you and I, we need to realize that when we are under attack, that God wants to put his word in our mouth. And it's not a you should have said, but instead it is say this. We can see that with Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness, and Satan said, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He begins to quote the word of God. It's very important that you and I allow God to instill in us his word. Too many believers, okay, I'm going to say this very meticulously, too many believers in America right now are biblically illiterate. That doesn't mean that they don't know how to read, but they do not know the Bible. They don't know what it says. And therefore, instead of responding to circumstances with a thus saith the Lord and responding in faith, they are responding with anecdotes. They are responding with quips and quotes that they've heard from other people. Many believers respond to the challenges of life with things that are contradictory to the Bible. And so it is very important that we hide the word of God in our heart so that we can be able to speak forth the word of God. You see, the devil will challenge the credibility of your understanding of the word. And it's very important that you be able to respond with the word of God, not to respond in anger, not to respond in wrath, but to respond with the word of God. And so God says, I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. I really like that. See, I am not a person who despises authority. I recognize authority for what it actually is, and that is a gift from God to me. It is a gift from God to me. And so I need to honor those people in authority over me as much as they are in alignment with the will of God. I can still honor the person in their position and speak to them respectfully, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to endorse a sin that the Bible clearly calls sin. I'm not going to be able to say, I'm going to support that. I'll say, sir, you know, in all due respect, I want to call you back to the biblical principles that are found clearly in God's word. And right now, O King, it doesn't line up. And so we're going to honor you by telling you the word of truth. So he says, I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. So not only am I thankful for the authorities in my life, but I am thankful for the protection of God, because God's protection is because he has a plan for me. Listen to what it says here. I have covered you with my plan, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. He covered the people of God. He covers the city of Zion. He covers Jerusalem. He covers those because he wants the kingdom of God established. He wants it planted. He wants it established. He wants it fruitful. And so I thought that was important to share. And say to Zion, you are my people. You know, there are too many people who are in our communities and they don't really realize who they are. I told a story recently at church of, I believe it was a hospital over in Tampa. There were two young ladies that their families had fallen upon hard times, and their family actually placed them in two different orphanages in their homeland. Well, they both ended up getting adopted and brought to the United States. They both ended up in the same region of the country. One of them got sick, went to the hospital, and as she was communicating with her nurse, they discovered that they were actually biological sisters that had been separated for quite some time. And yet, as they began to discuss, they realized who they really were. We are the children of the Most High God. God wants us to know, you are my people. And, you know, I don't know why we would want to deny the reality of who we are just because somebody else doesn't think that that's appropriate. I want to go and say, hey, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God, and I'm not going to allow you to deprive me of the inheritance that my God, my Father, has provided for me. He said that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and I'm more than an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. And so I'm going to respond to you trying to deny who I am in reality. I'm going to respond with the word of God. You see, Jesus, when Satan was tempting him, he was really trying to get Jesus to question his own identity. And Jesus responded with the word and said, no, that's not the case. And I always think that that's quite a strange tactic of the enemy, because Jesus had just heard from heaven, well done, thou art my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's what had taken place at his baptism. And so if I hear God tell me that I am his child, that he is pleased with me, I'm not going to be tempted to go into the wilderness and begin automatically to question my own identity. So our community, our nation would be well served if we were to remember who we are. Verse number 17 has the second repetition of awake. It says, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. You have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. You have drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling and drained it out. There is no one to guide her among all the sons she has brought forth, nor is there any who takes her by the hand among all the sons she has brought up. These two things have come to you. Who will be sorry for you? Desolation and destruction, famine and sword. By whom will I comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets like an antelope in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of your God. Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted. And drunk not, but not with wine. Thus says your Lord, the Lord your God, who pleads the cause of his people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it, but I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you. You who have said to you, lie down that we may walk over you. and you have laid your body like the ground and as the street for those who walk over. So what God is saying here is it was time for the people of God. It was time for the city of God to wake up. It is 2016, the end of 2016, and it is time that the children of God awaken to their reality, awaken to God's destiny for them, awaken to God's purpose for us, and that is not terminal suffering, but instead it is a time for us to respond with repentance. It's a time for us to respond with humility, allow God to work inside of us, and then go forth as the children of the Most High God, fully awake, alert to everything that is going on, occupying while there is still daylight to do the work. We are to be manifesting as the children of God. And so does God correct his children? Absolutely. Does he do that forever? That is not his intent. His intent is correction to bring about a change in behavior. A couple of weeks ago, I was preaching and I said this, there is no lesson to be learned in the second kick of a mule. I don't remember where I heard that, but it's, you know, I'm not going to just stand there and let the enemy, you know, kick me, abuse me. I'm not going to let him do that to my family or to the people in my church. I'm going to say, wait a minute, that is not your privilege to do. And so it is time for us to awaken to our identity. It is time that we wake up our ears to listen to what God has said and say, you know what? I did not save you for you to be a doormat. I saved you to be more than an overcomer. In Isaiah 52, it's the third reference to awake, awake. It says, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, why awake my people? For thus says the Lord, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now, therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them wail, says the Lord, and my name is blasphemed continually every day. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. So listen to what it says here. It says, awake, awake, put on your strength. Okay, so in verse number 17 of chapter 51, it says, stand up, wake up and stand up. Here in verse number 1 of chapter 52, it says, put on your strength. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It says to put on your beautiful garments. Beautiful garments were not garments that were worn by people who were in mourning. They were not garments that were worn by people who were in captivity. They were worn by people who were on a journey. They were people who were being blessed to the Lord. And in order for them to put on the strength and the beautiful garments that God wanted to have them put on, the garments of praise, the robes of righteousness, the armor of God, there were some things that had to be taken off first. It said, loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. You and I, it is time that we allowed God to bring us complete and total deliverance. Not just from the hostile environment, but also from the shackles that you can walk around in a free country and still be bound. That when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the reality was getting them out of Egypt was not the most challenging part. That only took a period of weeks. The challenging part was getting Egypt out of the people. of God. It was training them on how not to be slaves, but how to walk in the liberty that God had just provided for them. And so I believe it would be very helpful if we allowed God not just to release us from the captivity or the hostile and governmental authorities that make it hard on the people of God. I think that's important, but I don't think that's the ultimate. I think that we need to be delivered from those things that hinder us physically. I believe that's very important. But I believe also that it is time that we allow God to renew our minds so that we think like born again, redeemed children of the Most High God. God, teach me, train me, help me to think like I'm supposed to think. You see, we've talked about this before. If we think we are grasshoppers, we will act like grasshoppers. And I'm not talking about just embracing, you know, a pie in the sky dream. I'm talking about knowing the Word of God, knowing who we are, and saying, wait a minute, this is not something that is supposed to be a normal part of my life. There's a story that is told of an eagle that had fallen to the ground out of its nest, and it landed with a bunch of chickens. And the eagle looked around and saw all of these chickens and grew up in that environment thinking that he could not fly, and he acted like those other chickens, not realizing that he had been created for an entirely different destiny. And the chickens would look up and they'd see the eagle soaring in the sky, and here this eagle is with all of the equippings, everything. He had been formed to dominate the skies and soar over the storms of life, and yet here he was in a group of chickens. Today, I want you to remember that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. As a born-again child of God, you are the cream of the crop. You are the object of his affection, the apple of his eye. And today, I pray that God would set you free from every oppressive word that has been spoken over you. I pray that God would release you from the burden and the baggage of every bad encounter that people have oppressed you with, and that you would be able to go forth unhindered and unfettered, that you would shed those garments, that just like Jesus said, loose that man and let him go. Lazarus, loose him from those grave clothes. If we're going to listen, if God calls me back out of the grave, I don't want to come back with the same problems that put me into the grave. I want to come back with a glorious testimony that people would say that, look, people are coming to faith because of what God has done in him. That's what I want to have happen. And so he says, you have sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. God's redemption did not come with a price tag of dollars and cents. It came with a spiritual transaction that took place on a cross where Jesus gave his life so that you and I could be redeemed. Every time I read sections like this, I'm reminded of the great price that God has paid for me. You see, the world is very good at throwing out the term worthless. I had a staff member a long, long time ago, and she shared one night as she was leading worship, and she said, you really begin to understand the meaning of the word worthless when you grow up in the household of a person with an addiction. said, you are worth less than their best. You are worth less than their time. You are worth less to them than the money that they would spend on their addiction. And she went on and on about how she came to understand that worthless meant that you are worth less than other things in people's lives. And she said, it wasn't until I came to Christ that I realized that I wasn't worth less to him. I was priceless to him. And so I want to get your week started off this year. Listen, it wasn't an accidental purchase. As you're going out shopping, trust me when I tell you this, there is very little that is done accidentally during your Christmas shopping. Every item is strategically placed, and there are things that are there to get you to upgrade your purchases, accessorize your purchases, and then there's instant gratification. There are things that are just going to be momentary decisions. All of those items are there to get you to part with your money and increase their sales. Those spontaneous purchases, you weren't a spontaneous purchase by God. He sought you out. He came to earth intentionally. He did it because you're priceless to him. He did it because he wanted to be reconciled to you. Do you realize that reconciliation to God is an intentional process? If you're going to be reconciled to someone else, it's someone's going to have to be intentional about it. And I encourage you today that if you've got a strained relationship, if you've got a broken relationship, I know too many people who there have been generational distances. I mean, they hadn't talked to their parents or their kids in a long time. I want to encourage you this Christmas, be as intentional about putting that thing to rest as Jesus was about coming and redeeming you. Okay. So, you shall be redeemed without money. I'm thankful that I serve a Redeemer and my Redeemer lives. Amen. God bless you. I thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. I pray that you would have a great, great day. And, we're going to get out of here just a few seconds early today. But we do pray that God will give you his very best and lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new, tell how great you are, tell my praise to you.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing. What I want my praise to be like a phrase.